You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, a guest makes the case against sugar and says it could be the main culprit in a wide variety of health conditions that take years off of our lives.
First, our next guest says we're living in dangerous times. Times, he says, when people have access to more information than ever before, but are more resistant than ever before to learning anything.
He calls it the death of expertise. That's the title of Tom Nichols' new book, which looks at why today's glut of knowledge has produced what he calls an army of ill-informed and angry citizens instead of a well-educated public interested in informed debate about the issues.
Tom Nichols joins us now. He's professor of national security affairs at the U.S. Naval War College and is an adjunct professor at the Harvard Extension School. Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start with your words. You say, never have so many people had so much access to so much knowledge and yet have been so resistant to learning anything. Where do you see that playing out in American culture today?
Well, it plays out everywhere in the way Americans react to science, in the way that Americans approach their elections, in a way that they inform themselves about daily events. There's plenty of information, but people essentially cherry-pick it to find things they already agree with, and they strongly reject anything that makes them uncomfortable or that clashes with their previously held beliefs.
Well, what do you think is at stake as a society, as a democracy, when we stop respecting the experts?
Well, as I say at the end of the book, and I hate to ever be so pessimistic about it, but the division between experts and lay people, between the people who have to help craft policy and the voters, if that distance gets too wide, the foundations of our republic are in danger, because people will get to the point where they simply decide they don't trust anybody and anything. And ironically, what that leads to is a further politicization of knowledge, because instead of being able to present the public with alternatives and for a rational and reasoned debate, what you'll get are people deciding to take sides, and that'll include the experts as well as the elected representatives. And I think that's an important part of this as well, that people have now confused experts with being decision makers. And those aren't usually the same people. Experts can only advise, but the American people and their elected officials are the ones that actually have to make informed choices. And when that breaks down, we're headed someplace that we don't want to be, I think.
Now, your book was being finished up during the 2016 presidential election, and since then we've seen a war over facts and fake news. We have different factions disagreeing about what's a fact and what's an alternative fact, what's real news and what's fake news. How does that affect how well-informed the public can be?
Well, it's interesting because I actually didn't write the book about the election. I started the book some years ago, and as I should also point out that my views here are my own. I don't represent the Navy or the War College. I actually started writing this because of what I saw as a larger social trend. During the election, it got completely out of control, I think, with the charges about fake news and, lying media. And I think that that's a really unhealthy situation, because the fact of the matter is, to be an informed voter, you do have to accept that some things are true and some things are false, that some things are knowable, and that you actually can make reasoned choices rather than simply making voting as an emotional reaction. And I think that's been lost in the last few elections, but it reached a crescendo with this one. So I think it dovetailed into everything I was warning about in the book, and I'm not sure we're past that yet.
And playing off of what you were just talking about there, I mean, you also write about how there's this urge, you say, for people to consider their own opinions on par with the experts. But there's that, but there's also an animosity that seems to go along with that now, an animosity for expertise. Do you see that as something that's been a sea change?
Yes, and it's part of what I think is an unhealthy populism that's always been there in the American spirit. But that we've always tempered with, I think, a very, very prudent approach to governing a republic. The tension and the animosity, I think, has grown partly because in a very complicated, very technologically advanced, very diplomatically and politically complicated world, people resent the experts because they have to rely on them. And Richard Hofstadter wrote about this nearly 60 years ago, and I don't think it's gotten any better since, that people resent experts because deep down they know they have no choice but to rely on them. But there's also a way in which experts, I think, have just been scapegoated now as the go-to explanation for anything that's happening in the world that people don't like. And I think that lets the voters off the hook for their own choices. And I think when the voters start saying they're not responsible and that clearly these are just experts making decisions, they're abdicating their own role in the process, and that's very dangerous for democracy.
Well, you're a professor, and you write about how you've seen that play out directed at you and maybe other academics. Are there other fields like that that you think are being maybe scapegoated right now?
Doctors, lawyers, engineers, you name it. People, I think, have a sense, and this is almost a throwback to where we were sometime in the 1940s or 1950s or perhaps even before, when people assumed that professionals were lazy and manipulative and charlatans and all of the other things that we're hearing being thrown out now that, again, have been partly mobilized because of our very partisan election, the political process in 2015 and 2016. Professors, of course, always take it in the neck because, you know, nobody likes professors. That's always been a term that people both respect and despise at the same time. So as I say in the book, you know, if you don't like the criticism aimed at professors, you shouldn't be in the business. But I think now it has spilled over onto other professions and in a way that is really unhealthy.
We're talking with Tom Nichols right now. His new book is called The Death of Expertise. And, Tom, you write about in 2014 how the Washington Post polled people about whether or not the U.S. should engage in military intervention in Ukraine. And, you know, this was after the 2014 Russian invasion of Ukraine. And it turned out that the less people knew about that subject, the more likely they were to be really robust about wanting military intervention. What do you make of that?
That's a terrifying result. It's one of the reasons I led the book with it, because I was aghast at reading that poll. And it wasn't just one poll. There are several times when the public's been asked its opinion about things. One of my favorite polling tricks is to ask people what they think about a particular policy, and they'll tell you that they think it's a great policy if they think it's associated with a politician they already like, that they take their cues that way rather than look at the policy itself, because it's become a kind of a team sport in that way. I think the bigger problem is that people, even when they don't know things, that doesn't prohibit them or inhibit them, rather, I should say, from expressing really strong opinions about it. You know, some of the funniest reviews or comments I've gotten on the book on social media, people have tweeted at me to say, well, I haven't read your book, but I think it's wrong. and that's kind of how they are about public policy. Well, I don't really know where Ukraine is, but I have a really strong opinion about what we should do there. In the book, I point out that there was a poll taken about whether we should bomb Agrippa. And Republicans and Democrats both expressed really strong opinions, some for, some against. But, of course, these people who answered the poll didn't understand that Agrippa it's the cartoon country in Aladdin. People were expressing really strong views about whether or not to bomb a cartoon. You can't run a democracy that way. You cannot have a healthy, informed public debate with people who have strong opinions about whether or not you should bomb fictional places. And that really worries me. That's part of what motivated me to write the book.
I want to talk about where you were during the recent election. You say your book was almost finished. You'd written it beforehand. But during the election, you were active as a conservative who didn't support Donald Trump. You were maybe the East Coast corollary to Charlie Sykes here in Wisconsin. You were a never-Trumper. And since then, we've seen Donald Trump's first weeks in office. What is your take on those first few weeks?
It's interesting because the president ran on a campaign of saying, you know, the experts don't matter, you know, kind of good gut common sense and business acumen can rule the day. I think, and I'm hoping, and I'm praying that what the president is finding now is that experts do matter. And you are seeing people like H.R. McMaster and James Mattis and other appointees coming in who actually know something about the subject themselves. So I think, again, this is a common thing in American populism, that you run during an election and you say, you know, nobody in Washington knows anything. We don't need educated experts. We don't need people with long experience in these matters. And then you actually approach governing and realize how monstrously complicated it is to run a superpower of 310 million people, and then you reach out for experts. So I'm hoping that the president is reaching out to those experts in a way that I thought he wouldn't during the campaign, but I still think, I guess that remains to be seen. I see some signs for hope, but I still worry about that strong populist strain that says that you don't need to ask people who know anything about anything.
And Tom, just briefly before I let you go, you have a huge Twitter following, and people seem to either really enjoy yelling at you or they go to you to be kind of calmed down, to be talked off the ledge. What is it like being that sort of unofficial calming glass of warm milk for people who are going through these extremes of political anxiety?
Well, it's pretty difficult because, again, I think part of the job of an expert, as I say in the book, you know, the client for an expert is society. Whether we're teachers or doctors or lawyers or engineers, our client is our society overall. And so I think it's my responsibility to, you know, answer people's questions as honestly as I can. And sometimes that means telling them things they don't want to hear. And I suppose the most distressing part of it is when someone says, wow, I thought you were really, you know, on my side here. Well, no, I'm not on your side. I'm on the side of the truth. And sometimes that'll work, you know, in a way that you'll like, and sometimes it'll be something you don't like. And that's a very difficult place to be because I think experts have an obligation to tell the truth even when the public doesn't want to hear it. And that's a difficult thing to do.
Tom, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tom Nichols is a professor of national security affairs at the U.S. Naval War College and the author of The Death of Expertise, The Campaign Against Established Knowledge and Why It Matters.
Coming up, our guest lays out the case against sugar. Stay with us here on Central Time.